Welcome, one and all, episode 172 of Ladies with Gumption, Blood for Blood. This is Tatiana, and I'm here with
Jessica and May.
We are the Ladies with Gumption. We recap DCTV in a flash. This time, specifically, we recap The Flash. You can find us at ladieswgumption.tumblr.com, ladieswgumption@gmail.com if you want to submit your feedback, DCTVGumption on Twitter, and of course the actual podcast on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and our Patreon for $10 a month. You can listen to us talk about anything and everything, including the MCU. Upcoming next is The Eternals. HBO Max premium shows, popular Netflix series. We've recently done the latest Doom Patrol season, and eventually we'll be doing You season 3. You can find that at patreon.com/DCTVGumption. On to our news. We have Gotham Knights, not the video game, just the same name, coming to the CW. Thoughts, questions, concerns?
I mean, I wish it wasn't on CW. Like, I feel like it should be like an HBO. I don't, like, I have no idea what this is about, but I feel like it should be on HBO Max.
Well, what it is about is after Bruce Wayne's
death. Well, yeah, I know, like, I've never read, like, the comics or, like, what the story behind it. I know, like, the general story, but you can, for those who don't know, please explain, Tati.
Yes. Bruce Wayne was murdered because we hate Bruce Wayne.
Dun, dun, dun.
On the CW. And his rebellious adopted son, whoever that is, joins forces with some, I don't know, other straggling members of the Bat family who are not the main members that we know and love in order to, I don't know, track down that murderer and also save the streets of Gotham. And it is written by the Batwoman team or members of the Batwoman team, including Natalie Abrams, but it will not be connected to the Batwoman universe since in that universe, Bruce Wayne was not murdered and we already have a Bat team protecting the streets of Gotham. So presumably there are not two separate Bat teams.
So I feel like why have it on the same network? I feel like that's just confusing.
Exactly.
I feel like they're going to do a Stargirl and they're like, this is on Earth 2, but sort of part of the Arrowverse, but not.
Are they going to create like a second multiverse with like actually it in the Stargirl's universe?
That would actually be
that would be interesting.
If they did that, that would be actually interesting. And like they're like the same age as the Stargirl kids. And mm-hmm. Like, you thought that Stargirl kids were depressed teenagers. That's a newer, emo-er version. That would be fun. Anyway, aside from that, there's also a Wonder Woman game. I know nothing about that. I just read those words. Who would like to fill us in on Wonder Woman game?
She's getting one.
Yay!
It exists. That is all we know.
Yeah.
I love that for her.
I don't know, because I've just seen it, like, on, like, around on Twitter that then I feel like this is her first game in, like, all 70 years of her existence.
Oh, my gosh. That is.
I feel like that is. Yeah.
Well, she certainly deserves
like, her first, like, solo game that
okay.
I can. Yeah.
Well, congratulations to Wonder Woman. Shame exactly. on the gaming industry for leaving her behind for so long.
Right. I think that there's a rich, you know, game world available from Wonder Woman. So I look forward to seeing what that game's going to be. And then on to the actual episode itself. We're going to have May take us through the joys, the lack of joy, and the feedback that was produced by part 5 of Armageddon.
Tati. I found, like, I looked it up. It was confirmed at the Game Awards in 2021 that Wonder Woman will be getting her own next generation gaming treatment on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS coming up. So that's where they released the trailer. So that's where everyone was like talking about it. That and Suicide Squad, where like the Suicide Squad is like going against the Flash because the Flash has been like brainwashed by Brainiac.
Oh, that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Understandable. All right, well, that sounds like a good time and like something I cannot play because I do not have a PlayStation 5 and probably will not anytime in the near future. But for those of you who will, I'm very happy for you. All right, May, take it away.
Yes, so side A, permanent Jaywalker. The conclusion to Armageddon presents an opportunity for the Flash to end his lifelong battle with Reverse Flash for good, but the payoff could be too much for Barry and team to handle. Reverse Flash asks Barry for his help to save him before he's permanently erased from the timeline in front of everybody so that Barry can feel really guilty about not doing it. And then we have Barry, Iris, and Caitlin, who are firmly in the let him expire camp. It's bound to happen. Death's part of life. While the rest of Team Flash question whether quote-unquote killing Fawn is a good idea or if it takes away from the Flash being a hero. Mia Queen drops in from the future looking to save poor William, who is still missing after 2 years, and she won't let anything stand in her way. Meanwhile, Despero is just chilling until he realizes Fawn is the real villain and wants to have him killed for reasons that don't make much sense after Barry outs him as a lying liar who lies. Minhaj Huda directed the episode written by Kristen Kim. What sparked joy?
Oh, see, now that I know who wrote the episode. But it sparked joy. I liked Barry's reunion with Joe and like the West House. I feel like this is the reunion that he should have had with Iris, like that kind of moment, but I digress. I like that at least Joe got something. I was happy to have him back until like he started yelling. But what I will say about that whole thing is I feel like, you know, I will say he had a point in that Barry already mm-hmm. knew how to keep Thawne alive without his feed, like how to incapacitate him without killing him. So to be fair, like knowing how to stop Thawne without killing him and just letting him die anyway is different from having no other choice. I feel like that's probably what they wanted to say, but they just were not saying it like that. But I think that's what their point was, which actually makes, you know, it that does make sense. I actually liked Caitlin's confrontation with Thawne. Like, there's something that we've been hearing about, you know, with Eric when he had his interview, that there's a lot of anger built up there. So waiting for that to see how that would unfold. And I liked how it played out. Like, a lot of people were like, well, she just saw flat and no emotion. I was like, it's a subdued, restrained anger. Yes. But like the alternative is like crazy arms and crazy faces. So I like this acting choice. So, you know, I thought that she did well there. And then plus it made her seem cold because she's just like, you know, people die every day. I can't change that. So, and that kind of like ties in with the whole snow frosting, which I feel like, imagine if they were still one person, like if there was no split and she was snow and frost, there'd be like extra layers on that. But, you know, I digress again. I really, you know, the whole, like, I've spent like the last eight years hating you. That was like Danielle's like best line delivery, maybe in the entire series. So kudos to Caitlin. Finally getting to talk back to Thawne. I do think Thawne had a point though, like devil's advocate, that she's spent 8 years in the same place. And I feel like the Flash writers, like, I don't know if they're like shading themselves with that. Like, whose fault is that? She's in the same place as yours.
She's going to have a Cisco moment. She's like, what does my life look like?
Right. You know, like, she's like, you know, I've been here helping people, whatever. And it's like, okay, but so has everybody else. And like, Cisco has had 2 romantic relationships and got a job and got promoted. Barry and Iris got married. They moved in together. And then there's Caitlin. Well, okay. I'm drifting off into other things. So refocusing.
Right. We're in the joy section.
In the joy section. I'm just saying he had a point.
Well, maybe it brings you joy that Caitlin has gotten nowhere in her life.
No, it doesn't.
it brings joy that somebody brought it up so that maybe she can actually think about it and change in the future.
Think you may. I liked Iris and Mia's kind of like interactions. I like that she, like, Iris like dodging like Mia's arrow. You know, Caitlin can't relate because she got hit, but oh. I liked, you know, Iris like talking Mia down and, you know, getting her to like remember William, and then later giving Mia a lead to find her brother, which would have been a great pickup if Mia had a show to do that on. But I like their kind of relationship. Did she call her Aunt Iris or Uncle Barry?
Captain spoiled us because she kept calling it in the interview.
I know.
Like, wait a second.
I was waiting for that. And I wasn't getting it. But I like that they have kind of like a dynamic that's building now. Damien Dark, of course, getting to see his daughter and him and Joe bonding over fatherhood. I did like at the end Barry like being not being able to like read a room, interrupting Chester and Allegra. I thought that was funny.
Finally, another couple gets interrupted on this show.
I liked getting Thawne's like actual backstory. It beats like the last time Barry tried to ask this, because the last time he asked, Thawne's just like, because I hate you. So this was definitely like an upgrade into that. And
Is that season one Thawne who said that, or season five Thawne?
I think it was season one. It was season one, because they finally had him in the particle accelerator jail, whatever. And he was like, why did you kill my mom? He's like, because I hate you. I was like, okay. Thanks. But I like getting like the actual origin story, his actual villain origin story about how, you know, he had admired two centuries in the future, how he had admired the Flash and wanted to be this hero for his century. And then here comes Barry. And that was like the moment to spark off everything that's happened since. So I'm really excited to potentially get to see that. Because I think it's like the age old Flash versus Reverse Flash kind of thing. Getting to see that all kind of like play out, I think, will be really cool. You know, Barry got his gold boots. Yay, Barry. I don't know how Chester turned that like hunk of metal thing into boot material, but he did it. So yay.
I hope they're comfortable.
I know, right? I think like overall, I do like the format, because we did Spaces. That should be in the news. We did Spaces after this episode aired. So thank you all to everyone who joined. That's a joy that we had you and you had feelings to share. And I think I asked about, you know, the format of the crossover, this crossover compared to other crossovers. And I do think I like this one better. Logistically, it just makes more sense to have everything concentrated on one show and one story. And it's probably a lot easier for guest actors, because you're only taking like certain people, but not an entire cast. So you can work with that a little bit better. I think that this will probably be the way that they do them in the future. I think they need to change how they advertise it, because I think people were still looking at this as crossovers of the past. So once they kind of like get into how to distinguish it, I do think it'll probably be the crossover format of the future, which I think is a good thing.
I agree about the format. I think overall it gave us more time to really understand and care about where each of these characters were coming from. And especially now that there isn't a show to go back to, it feels more special when certain people come on, like Mia, who doesn't have Arrow and the Canaries, or Green Arrow and the Canaries, sadly, to then house her story. Or earlier on, it was nice to see Jefferson again. Etc. So overall, I do like the format more. And in this episode, I thought it was nice to check in with Mia and see how she has progressed or not on finding William. And now I am once again fully invested on returning William safely home. So I hope that we're going to get to check in on that again in the near future. Also loved the dynamic that Iris especially had with Mia. And that she knew kind of like how to approach her and talk with her, even though like they haven't really had a chance to get close as of yet. It was like very much the door was open for that to happen. And that whatever off-screen chemistry or relationship they have with Kat calling, you know, them Aunt Iris and Uncle Barry, was reflected in the warmth of the scenes on screen. So that was nice. Also, I was very glad that we got to see Joe fully back in the episode. I was almost not expecting it with the like lack of even hearing his voice on the other end of the line. It was kind of funny. Again, it's not like, necessarily a joy, but I did laugh when we actually heard the dialogue that he was delivering on the other end of the line in this episode. Like, they were very clearly like, we did not want to pay him last week, but this week we are paying him. Here is the rest of that conversation. But yeah, and even though I think we can all agree with a bit, you know, we're taking, we'll talk about that later, I do like that you could feel the full force of like, well, Papa Joe is back and this is, you know, this is what the hierarchy is like. When he's like, I don't like that y'all are doing this. And everyone's like, wow, dang. Joe said that was a bad idea. I guess we can't do it. So that was fun. Even though, you know, the yelling was not. And I also agree that the scene with Caitlin and Reverse Flash was probably Danielle's best work on the show. If not ever, at least in a very long while. I thought that the subdued right. emotion of that scene was exactly what it needed. Mm-hmm. And she did not go over the top. And I think we have recently very much seen what over the top does and why we do not need it all the time. So
Danielle saw Danielle being that way. And she's like, I'm going to scale it.
Yeah. She's like, she saw Danny and she saw Jesse like going. She's like, okay. Okay, I'm going to go in a different direction.
Exactly. And we appreciate that. We appreciate that. Also, I, you know, it totally had me on her side. And, you know, like on most characters' sides that, no, we should definitely let her slash die. That being said, I did also think it made sense that Allegra and Chester were on the, no, you can't do that side. Because that did fit in with what we had previously introduced about Chester and him being a pacifist and Allegra like being on his side about it, like don't let them bully you into killing people. And
well, I also like that Iris is like, you're right, you don't get a vote.
Like, y'all are the new kids. I don't know what you think you're doing here. Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, overall, I think that it was like mostly like a decent finish to the arc. I would definitely say like the back, I don't know if it's half, but like whatever, at least the last two episodes were stronger than the first, you know, or at least the Reverse Flash side was stronger than the Despero side, I guess is the way to put it. What else? Oh, yeah, obviously I'm very, very happy we finally got the actual story for why Reverse Thawn hates the Flash, and I love that it's Reverse Thawn. Reverse Flash hates the Flash, and why it's like it's just perfectly petty enough for him, right? So, but it is also a real explanation and not just, well, I woke up one day and I decided that I hate you and so then I came and destroyed your life. So very happy for that. Also glad he's got the boots, if only because it just makes people happy. Everyone just likes the boots. I like when people are in a good mood. I don't have any particular affinity or attachment to the boots from the comics, but I know they exist and so I am glad they are now on the screen. Also, I just thought, you know, Iris looked really good, and that should mm-hmm. be noted. Yeah, very happy of that. Also,
I love like, that she always wears red to events, yeah. like that's a thing yeah. in the show all the time.
Yeah, it's true. She looked lovely. It's nice to see them all celebrating, kind of, you know, like, gave us a little bit of, like, the old, like, I don't know, old Team Flash, old Flash family feel, whatever you will. Also glad that we actually got to see Nora. That was a nice surprise, Nora Dark cameo that I was not expecting. But once they started being like, why is Nora? Why is she still dead? Then I was like, well, she better see her now. I'm going to be real mad if they don't see like that. And thankfully, they did not. So it was very nice that Dark, you know, Damian and Nora got a little moment before he faded into oblivion again. Even though then she was sad. And it would have been nice if, you know, we could have had Ray there to be like, it's okay, honey. But it's okay. All right. Ending. I guess it was the ending. It was exciting. And promo. I'm going to just include that in part of it. Like, you know, oh my god, look at this picture. Oh my god, Eddie's there. Oh, what's happening? Tornado Twins? So I am looking forward to seeing how that's going to play out. And it definitely whet my appetite for 2022. Which I think might not have happened if we had not gotten that last little, like, 3 seconds. So.
Yeah. I agree with that. Because I was like, how are they going to end it? What are they going to leave us with? Even though the 30-second, 20-second promo isn't enough for me mm-hmm. yet. But I like that, you know, at least in the, I don't know how many episodes this is going to be, but we get Nora and Bart back to some extent. And, like, it seems they're, again, timey-wimey shenanigans, which will be fun. But as for the episode itself, I did like the twist of Thawn showing up in the present and actually, you know, making himself known in front of everyone, calling the Flash and be like, you need to save me. So that if Thawn suddenly, like, dies, Central 2 is going to be like, well, He asked for your help and you did not help him. But I think that was like a very villainous, clever move on his part, because he was, you know, getting to the heart of the hero, so to speak, in a way that he didn't try to before, rather than just like showing up and it's like, I'm gonna race you and we'll see who's faster types, you know, shit. We got something else completely. So that was unexpected. And I also really did like the scene between him and Caitlin, because I feel like we've said a lot of things about Caitlin, and fandom wants certain things. Her fandom wants certain things for Caitlin. But as a character, I think it's crucial to have someone challenge you constantly. You know, that's how you end up growing and thinking about things. And I don't feel like she's been challenged at all in these last 8 seasons. Mm-hmm. So to have someone talk to her in a way where you're just like, you know what? What has your life been? You know, I thought that was really important, even if it made her feel bad in the moment, but like it plants the seeds of her thinking about her own life rather than just kind of moving on autopilot. So I really like that. And I also like the fact that, you know, she really had backbone in that scene and called Thawne out. She's like, I am a doctor, but I don't have to let, you know, keep you alive, because death is part of life and that is what happens and your time is up and I will just watch it happen. So I thought that was really strong, and I think that the scene delivery in general, like, I agree with you, Jess, that it was her strongest yet on the show. So yay. And I really also like the fact that Joe was back. It was nice to see him again. I didn't expect him to be in this episode at all either, but it was nice to see him for the 5 minutes that lasted. I think that Jesse L. Martin has such a on-screen presence that you do, even if he hasn't really been doing too much in recent seasons, you still feel when he's gone for too long. Mm-hmm. And when he's back, you're like, oh, finally, you know, there's some, I don't know, grounding to the show a little bit more than before. So I really liked his scene with Barry and just kind of catching him up on what happened, even though I feel like it was odd that he wasn't more freaked out the fact that he died. And I also liked, you know, continuing Dark's story to see what will happen to him, and kind of, I feel like what Flash Armageddon did with Rey and Nora's storylines in particular is what Legends never did at the end of their, like, giving them closure at the end of their storylines. And I feel like this was a nice way to sort of wrap up their arcs and see where they, what they've been up to, and also offer like Nora closure for dad. So that was really nice. I did like the Mia and Iris scenes. I think that at the beginning, you know, Mia's just always very hot-headed coming in, just being like, this needs to happen, that needs to happen. You're just like, you need to slow down. But also her saying things that, you know, made other people think about their situation as well. So I really liked her scene at the end, especially, like, you can tell that there's a little bit of warmth there, and Iris, you know, helping defeat Despero in Reverse Flash and finding out what is on the, I don't know, the arrow or whatever that came with her.
The hosing.
Yes. So that was really nice. And you felt like the continuation of her storyline, and even if she goes off and we don't get what's going to happen in the future, you still feel like things are maybe going to be okay, because she can even hop back in time now. Yeah, exactly. And then also
the pilot of the episode just left off like, well, yeah, she's gone.
Exactly. And even the invite of having like Mia come by to hang out with like Bart and Nora, I thought that was really cute, because it just feel like Barry and Iris are just so open. They're just like, come over, everyone just come over all the time. We will have no privacy, but y'all will be fed and we'll get some sleep. And what else? I did love the Reverse Flash backstory. I thought it was long overdue, 8 seasons in, and we finally get and understand why Thawne hates Barry so much. And I think it made a lot of sense. And I like that it ties into, not that he just comes from, like, I don't know, 100 years from now, but actually 2 centuries from now, which is impressive. And just kind of getting his mindset as to why he just continues to be so bitter towards the speedster. So I thought that was really great, and kind of brings a lot of things full circle for their rivalry. And I feel like even keeping him alive, as annoying as that was, because we'd all like to, you know, see Thawne go at this point, he's sort of overstayed his welcome. But I feel like in some ways this storyline rejuvenated his arc a little bit, so that if he does come back, it'll be interesting to have more of a finality. Like, if this is the final season, bringing him back again and then tying it with something else would be final. Like, if Barry ends up, I don't know,
and if we go into harming the future, him, we can have Matt back.
Yes, yes. So I'm not going to get excited.
Or a younger version of Matt, whoever they choose to look, that looks like Matt. I don't know how old Eobard was when he started his bitter journey.
That would really be great. But I'm not thinking too far ahead because I don't want to get too excited. But I did love that part. And just having I mean, if Barry's going to continue being around, his nemesis is going to stick around too until the very, very end. And then we'll see what happens. I thought it was a fine episode. It was kind of a little bit of a letdown after last episode was just had a lot going on. So I feel like this was a lot more subdued, but it still tied up certain things for the crossover fairly well. What did not spark joy?
Mia's been looking for William for 2 years.
William!
Wow.
Take this man.
Joe coming back to life to yell at Wes Allen like he's like Tyra Banks. I feel like he's like Tyra Banks yelling at Tiffy like, we were all rooting for you. Never met. Like all that kind of level of dramatics. And then he left. I'm going to say to go visit Kramer, but I don't know. But he forgot to take Cecile with him. Like, sir, like you had one job and that was to take her with you. And so she's stuck in, I feel like this crossover made it really apparent that Cecile is an extra employee at Star Labs. Like, she doesn't have anything else to do. She just stays there with the kiddos and, just pretends to be part of the team instead of Joe and, Wells to a certain extent, Harry, when they were there. I don't know if it was just Tom and Jesse didn't make me feel like they were in Star Labs all the time, but Cecile just feels like she's in there all the time, a permanent member. And then I think it's because she just inserts herself when no one asked her to. So when Iris is talking to Mia and Mia's brainwashed and Iris is talking her down and all this kind of stuff, here comes Cecile with her mind powers or whatever. Yes, Mia, listen to me. I'm no, we were fine. Okay. We were fine over here. Iris is the champ at heart to heart. She is gazillion and oh, we don't need your help, Cecile. So when she busts in, and even when Team Flash had decided to give Thawne a speed vasectomy, Cecile again is just intrusive with Caitlin in her mind, and Caitlin has to answer out loud to the group anyway. So why did Cecile feel the need to physically or psychically address her instead of just asking it? Use your mouth. Use your words. I feel I understand now why Jenna hates her mom and just thinks insults, because I'm pretty sure, especially since that's the time that Joe's dead, Cecile's probably just trying to bypass actually having conversations and just trying to psychically connect with Jenna. And Jenna's just walls here, insults. Mm-hmm. So I get it. I definitely feel that was made more apparent. The whole to let die or not to let die argument, I feel like it was just weird redux of the Medicare argument. And I don't think either are fully fleshed out in their arcs. I don't know. Caitlin wasn't wrong, people, and he's lived 2 centuries in the future, so he has plenty of time, honestly, to, live his life or whatever. Why can't this be the end for him? It doesn't really had any nuance in this episode, because I feel all the people that had actual ties to Thawne were all the people that think that he needed to go. So Barry, Iris, and Caitlin, and, Allegra and Chester don't really have a strong leg to stand on because they are new kids here. So I feel like I agree with Iris. I don't really get a vote. Y'all don't know what this man has done for us, to us, for the last 8 seasons. And I also feel like if we learned for the first time that I remember that Chester is a pacifist in the first episode or so of Armageddon, why isn't he the leader in the let's not kill him in this episode? I feel like Allegra took on more of that anti-killing role than he did. And I just feel like this was your one story, that you're the pacifist. I feel like you should have been more in the front there. And then I feel like there should have been like a bigger divide in the team. It just felt kind of rushed over, like, I don't think we should do it. I think we should. Joe says we can't, so let's not. And then that was like the end of it. And I think that kind of hints to the bigger, like I was talking about, you know, the format of the crossover and everything. And I think this kind of hints at that. I think the one thing about this crossover is that Armageddon didn't really feel like an Armageddon, because, you know, Armageddon was like, began and ended in the fourth episode. So it doesn't really feel like there was a lot of stakes. And I feel like if we could have tightened up this story, and because like episode one was like a lot of fluff, like 95% fluff before we get into the actual Barry's worst day ever. So I feel like if they had like cut out some of that and move four up to three, we could have had more time for like this bigger, like a second mini Armageddon between the Flash team of whether or not to take him out or not. And you could have had like, if Chester and Leg were really bad at it, they could have like kidnapped Vaughn and taken him away so that they could help him without the Flash and Iris and Caitlin trying to kill him, or, you know, something like that. I feel like it could have been more stakes. And with, you know, Despero's still kind of in there, but I feel like, you know, it wasn't like a, it's kind of like a whimper instead of a bang a little bit. Yeah. Those are my final Armageddon thoughts, I think.
I think a whimper instead of a bang is the perfect way to describe it. The denouement was incredibly fast after the ramp up having been so incredibly slow. Because like you said, Armageddon does not really come around until episode four. I definitely feel like they could have stretched out the Reverse Flash part of things and shortened the Despero part of things. And this episode, I think, made that even clearer with Despero then coming in like, okay, well, if you're not going to kill Reverse Flash, then I'm going to kill Reverse Flash. But I'm not going to kill him, even though that should be super easy because I kept threatening Barry that I was going to kill him. Instead, I'm going to brainwash Mia to do it. Like, because, sure, a girl with a bow and arrow seems like the best possible option to take out a speedster. I was like, okay. So, yeah, I feel like Despero, like, the concept of Despero is interesting enough and could have sustained a crossover, but they didn't actually do the Despero from the comics. Until the moment where Barry's like, actually, you didn't do that. You were the dictator and you destroyed your world.
And how did he know?
Exactly. I was like, where did this information come from? I don't know where you received this information, although it is correct. But where are the dots where are the pieces you put together? I don't know. So I thought that was very strange that they just kind of like dumped that in there instead of actually making it part of the story. Also, I mean, I agree that Chester should have been leading the crusade against violence, because that literally is a story. But I don't know. I guess Allegra is just the leader. She wears the pants in their relationship, I guess. She had to make him stand up for himself in the first episode, and she's got to be the one to carry his point forward in the final episode, I guess. That's not gross, but it is something. Consistency, maybe. I don't know. So anyway, aside from that, I think the problem with Cecile, I mean, aside from the fact that, like, Wells literally worked there. Like, it was his place. So, like, mm-hmm. Of course, he owns the place. And Joe always comes in like he has somewhere else to be, right? He comes in like, listen, right. I was just at work. This happened. Okay, I'm leaving again now. I don't want to be here. Y'all are annoying. Where Cecile's just like, hey, guys, I'm reading your minds. And I was like, what? Why, Cecile? And they also just, they gave her storylines and they dropped them in favor of whatever this is. I do think like it couldn't be more obvious that she just is a replacement for Joe when Joe's not around. Mm-hmm. This episode, Joe was around, even though it wasn't for very long.
And she still and was made, here.
Yeah, right. And that made her seem all the more redundant, right? Never has Cecile felt less relevant than in this episode. Yeah, very unnecessary. Very stepping on people's toes, and she did not need to, but she was not like the biggest culprit of the episode, I guess. So, like, whatever. I guess she was better than she was in the rest of the crossover. Good job, Cecile. Overall, I just wish that we could have expanded on the Reverse Flash side of things. And while I do understand that Tom Cavanaugh is Reverse Flash, like, he signed on to be Reverse Flash, and that is why, as many times as they possibly can use him as Reverse Flash and not Matt Lesher, they will. But it would be nice to see Matt Lesher at the times when it would make sense for him to be Matt Lesher and not just still be Wells' face. And it would have been super nice to actually get to play out the first meeting of Flash and Reverse Flash. I hope we could do that before the show ends. But I really feel like we could have just done that in this crossover. It would be much, much cooler if we had started this storyline with that. And then, like, you know, like, do like a cause and effect thing, right? Like, once upon a time, this first Flash meeting happened. And that led to Armageddon, kind of, you know? And then we filled the blanks in between. But, oh well, we did not do that. Also, obviously, I have to agree with you that William being missing for 2 years is absolutely ridiculous. And I don't know what Mia has been doing with her life or how her, like, temporal whatever that she's been following led to the Reverse Flash when he had nothing, he doesn't have anything to do with it. Like, okay.
Yeah.
So you're just like, let me follow a speedster.
That's why she hasn't gotten anywhere in 2 years.
Exactly.
It secretly led her to Iris, who gave her what she needed.
There you go. I should have put that in the joys. I am glad that Iris was the one that was able to give her a clue of some kind, but we definitely need to follow up with it now. Because, like, now
That's what I feel like with a lot of the guests. I feel like the guests that they brought in, they gave them stuff that I want to see. Like, with Ray and Nora, like, we can't see what happens from now because... Right. They don't have a show. And Mia's like, finally has the first clue in 2 years of where her brother is. I want to know the answer. Like, what's the mystery? Like, where is he?
Yeah.
And she doesn't have a show. So
they better tie up those loose ends.
It was like her only reason for coming on. You wouldn't have. Yeah. She'll come back with, hey, here's my brother. Okay. Bye.
They're just going to keep teasing it like they do with the Green Lantern stuff. And they're like, well, you're just going to keep dangling this. No one cares. We're just throw them in there every once in a while and update you. But Milliam's going to be missing for like 5 years.
I totally forgot.
So sad.
Oh, she should go to the island. That's probably where he is. That's where their dad was for 5 years.
That's where everyone is. That's true. But yeah. So Mia. My, what the hell is your name? May. What is that?
I feel so offended.
I'm sorry, Ma. Why can't I say your name? May, please tell us what you did not like, aside from me not saying your name correctly.
Yes, did not like that. Just kidding. I mean, I agree about William being missing for 2 years. I feel so sorry for this man. And also, like, the fact that she is holding on to hope that he's still alive after 2 years, it just makes me really sad. I hope she finds him because it's very upsetting. William does not deserve this. He deserved it.
Oh, my God. Imagine. Olaf and Felicity just hanging out in their little closet of paradise or whatever. And they don't even care that William is missing.
I know.
Jesus.
Sad times. And I will say, like, Despero made no sense. I feel like he was just a wasted villain throughout the whole thing. He was just sort of there. And every time he spoke and they slowed things down, I had to roll my eyes. I was like, what is this? And it just slowed down the momentum of the whole episode every time he would, like, pop in to say something or, you know, I mean, Tony did a great job playing him, but he didn't really have much to work with, sadly. And I also feel like it's just a waste of the actor as well, because he's so great. And I feel like all I learned about Despero is that he's from another planet and he can get big sometimes. And that's it. And I feel like if he was the tyrant that Barry said he is, and again, we don't know how he got this information, but he would have been a lot more proactive. And yeah, I feel like they
trying
were
trying to, like, save this world. And yeah, he's like a tyrant. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like they were trying to make him peacemaker in a way, from, like, Suicide Squad, and, like, I will kill to bring peace or whatever. And that was his thing.
Right,
and then
right.
They tried to tie that into the whole morality question of whether they should kill Thawne or not. But I don't feel like they did it that well.
Oh, you know what? I think you're right. I think Kristen Kim watched Suicide Squad over the summer. It's like, you know what? I can do this.
Let's see. The editing. I feel like the editing was so off this episode for whatever reason, because they would cut to things and then they would come back. Like, the biggest example was after Barry took away Thawne's speed and he's like staring at him. He's like, "You took away my life." And then it cuts to the commercial and then we're back and everyone's going to the party. I'm like, this is just so jarring. Yeah, I don't even know what happened there, because we could have used an additional scene of, I don't know, Thawne being taken away, a transition before we got to the party. It's like, hey, let's celebrate. I also didn't really feel Barry's speech at the end that much. It was just all right. And just the overall... Well, also, Mia, I don't know how Mia knew about Reverse Flashpoint. Like, how would she have known? Who told her if the whole timeline was reset? That made no sense to me. Making Cecile a series regular was a mistake.
That was so random.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making Cecile a series regular on the show is a mistake. She does not need to be around this often. She should show up every once in a while to do things and then leave accordingly. Because I feel like she, like you guys said, you know, she just... hangs around, but she's not, she doesn't have her own storyline, and she's very nosy, and it sometimes gets to be kind of uncomfortable, and it's just a lot when it doesn't need to be. And just the general like lack of West Allen, especially after like the last episode. I hate the fact that this show has begun to use their relationship only when it needs to for dire situations, you know, instead of showing
the lightning rod concept.
Yeah, continuing to build on that relationship, because they used to be such an affectionate couple in general, and I feel like they don't get too many interactions in that way anymore, and it's annoying that the only time we do manage to get that is when they're like, the world's ending, we must believe in love, and I'm like, that's great, and I know that they love each other very much, but also the show could do a little bit more with giving us their relationship and like little moments between them every once in a while. It's not gonna break the episode, I promise, you know? So yeah, I will also agree that this crossover, especially I feel like after episode 4, which I feel like was the big buildup, this episode felt a lot less intense and it lost the momentum of the previous episode. So it did kind of end, it just ended, and it was fine, but it could have used a little bit more of a boost for sure. What did our listeners think?
We had quite a few listener thoughts, or three, I guess three is more than zero, and therefore it is quite a few. Starting with Anita. Hey now, ladies, I'm sorry that Thawne made it, because he is a serial killer and all, but Barry needs an arch enemy, I suppose. Oh well. I don't want to hear from Joe when Thawne engineers a way to get his speed back and break out of Arthur. Tom kept sending me as Thawne. He's such a drama queen. The Flash stole his thunder, his day of glory, and he's been annoying the universe and the Speed Force ever since. This Devo. As much as I crack ship West Wells from time to time, Candace is right about the speedster side. Nobody does it like Grant. And speedster slide. I like how Barry is winning fights, but I was low-key giggling when Allegra and Killer Frost were being shady about his brawling skills. It was so great to see Joe. Barry spoke for me, but I'm starting to get the feeling that in multiple timelines, Iris somehow let it slip that she ships her father with Kramer. Because why are both Cecile and Joe dropping their careers and letting Jenna move in with the neighbors to yell at Iris? Cecile must feel betrayed, and Joe must feel thrown under the bus. Whoever directly created a chilly vibe between Joe and Cecile at the cocktail party with that cheap crystal, Their lives are full of danger lurking around every corner. Cecile was just dropping hints about a wedding and dressing to kill, and Joe walked on by, comforting another woman, no less. Joe, you raggedy and shady.
Took Nora out on his way to meet Kramer again. He's leaving now, so every time he leaves, the scene is like he's gonna go meet his boo. Okay.
Yeah, no wonder she feels so unhappy. Oh man, I'm sorry, girl. All right. What does it mean that Damian gave Joe the time stone? What a good question. Will it have anything to do with Nora and Bart dropping in again later this season? Mia's a hero in the future, but she could have cut Chester some slack. Since she was gruff old Oliver's daughter, rudeness was in order. Glad to see Iris maintaining the Allen Queen family friendship. Candace's performances have been so dialed down in Armageddon There's a difference between being controlled and being meh, and Iris's tone was leaning towards meh. As much as it could present pressure for Candace to be the performance that we look for outside of Grant, the show needs Iris to sparkle or it suffers. Bring our girl back. Interesting. Then we have Sonia. First of all, I just want to say thank you for sending me that streaming. No, well, no, shh, no words. Okay. we love watching Legally in many ways. And all legal ways are equal. Okay. I don't really know what I thought of this episode of Flash. I love the West Island moment, getting to find out why Eobard hates Barry, and those callbacks to things from season one, like Ronnie. But it was such a disjointed episode. I love the scene of Joe and Barry at the start. It made me tear up a bit, and it was also nice to see Jesse again. I love when Dark said, I'm no hero, Barry. I'm just a dad. It's a really nice redemption arc of sorts for him, but I'm still angry he killed Laurel. Of course. Never forget. I'm glad Mia mentioned that.
Well, I was interested in that because I was confused because Mia's angry at Dark for killing Laurel, but the Laurel that she knows is not the one he killed. So I was like, interesting.
I guess she just knows that Laurel is dead, right?
Yeah.
She knows from the grapevine or something.
She heard it through the grapevine.
Mia knows all.
Didn't she, like, during the last crossover, didn't she and Sarah have, like, a moment or something? Like, maybe Sarah told her. Sarah was the one that dropped her off back in the future, right?
Yes.
Maybe they had a lot of time to talk.
How did Barry steal tech from a different timeline in the future to give to Chester? Many questions. How did Barry tell Frost and Chilblain? How could Barry even tell Frost and Chilblain were married? Did we as viewers know they were married? We did not, or at least we I did not.
You just know they were fucking in the bathroom, that's all.
Other than Eric literally being the only Frost and Chilblain shipper, was there a point to this scene? I was following along while you guys were live tweeting, so I learned about William being kidnapped. Guessing this is what happened when Arrow had that backdoor pilot into the Green Arrow and Canary show. Yep, that never got picked up. I hope she finds William soon. When I stopped watching Arrow season 4 when Laurel died, so all I remember about William is that he's Oliver's son. Yeah, pretty much. Love Chester fanboying over meeting people from the Arrowverse. He is so awesome. I love all Iris scenes, but Mia is so annoying. How did Mia know about Thondreverse Flashpoint? I get she knew he changed the timeline, but how did she know specifics, like Joe dying? I guess, they all just had a big conversation about it. We just have to pretend everyone just told everyone everything. I love the scene with Thought and Caitlin, not just because he was like, man, you're so useless, but also because this is literally the first time I've ever liked Danielle's acting as Caitlin.
See?
Yep, we all agree. It was her best work. Good job, girl. Caitlin's all, they're my family, and yet she's turned on the team so many times. but I did love the line. Just so we're clear, what I've been doing for the last 8 years is hating you. Go off, girl. Caitlin being okay with letting Thawne die reminds me of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when Simmons tried to kill Ward, but ended up killing Bakshi instead, because they're both doctors, and they're both mistreated by the villain, and then went against their moral code and the Hippocratic Oath. First time I ever made a Simmons and Caitlin parallel. I usually get mad at people who try to compare them.
Yeah, they're not the same at all, so. Typically.
Understandable. How exactly is Barry supposed to meet Thawne 2 centuries from now? Maybe it has to do with Bart and Nora changing the timeline. Or with Iris's time sickness. Dun, 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 dun. Despero is so annoying. Just GTFO. Mia taking down Allegra and Frost. And Caitlin, it's not a Flash episode if one or both of Danielle Penberger's characters don't get thrown on their ass. Very, very true. I love the scene of the team celebrating their victory. I wish it was solely a West Island date, but it was nice to see everyone all dressed up. Mia holding a knife to Dark's throat because of him killing Laurel is the first time I've ever agreed with or liked Mia. Also, yay to Iris' journalism skills to help find William. But when will the storyline with William and Mia happen?
Never.
That is our question, too. We want to know. Interesting to have Nora Dark in the show. Excited to see what they do with her. Do you think that she's going to be back? Is she going to be in more episodes? I would love that.
I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see. How did other Nora and Bart manage to screw up the timeline so much that they're in a New Year's 2014 photo at CCPD and that And the promo with Eddie, oh my god, yay. Is that something that the twins did? Or not twins, sorry. The just siblings, the regular siblings who are not twins did? Or is that something that is caused by the time stone, etc.? What do we think? Many questions. Hope you have a great holiday season and Christmas if you celebrate it. Can't wait till the podcast is back in January with a Batwoman episode. Woo! Thank you, dear. Thank you. And then finally, Swara. Oh, Swara. It starts off with a sigh. So that's why I'm like, oh, Swara. I don't even know anymore. This Armageddon plotline felt like a waste of time. The only good episode was the fourth one, especially for Iris and Ryan. And we had better see their friendship in present day. Otherwise, what a waste. Despero was nonsensical and useless. Making the final conflict whether or not to let Thawne die was so aggravating, and I hated how they used Joe as a voice of conscience or whatever, especially referencing a police record as an example of what they should do. LMAO, okay. Glad we saw Jesse in person again, though. Hopefully he's around for more of the season. Just let Thawne die, or better yet, don't include the spotlight at all. It's the most I've ever agreed with Caitlin. Sorry, writers, but it was inspiring to show Team Flash work to save a mass murderer. It's not the same as Aang choosing to only defeat Ozai and take his bending away. In that instance, it was about Aang preserving the cultural practices of the Air Nomads by not taking a life and living up to his name as the last airbender. This was about a mass murderer dealing with the consequences of his own actions. So again, it was just nonsensical. With the exception of episode 4, Armageddon was a dud for me. I hate how much they overhyped this 7-part storyline, and I'm so disappointed with how they executed it. But I'm going forward with what the good parts were, particularly the West Island of it all, and I'm hoping that when the season returns, it is a return to better form. Best, Swara. Well, I wish the Flash the best in meeting your expectations as well, Swara. Fingers crossed that they can do it. I don't have necessarily the faith that you have, but I also have lower expectations, so I will more likely have them met.
I was trying to think of, like, I was trying to remember some of the comments that we got from our Twitter spaces, too. And I think it was Fashion Maven, maybe, that also said that it just felt like, especially, like, the reverse Flash part of it, there were a lot of left-hanging things. Like, when, in episode 4, when Eobard tells Barry that he kills him as a child, there's a scene in, I meant to look this up, and I forgot, I guess it was season 1. We've seen him before when he's gone back, and future him has been like, no, you can't save your mom. But there's also the fact that a future him saved baby Barry as a child by like speeding him out of the house. So was that, you know, were there supposed to be dots that we're supposed to connect that that's what Barry was like running back to or what? And so, you know, that was a question. There was a question about if Eobard killed Barry, what happened to his parents? And, you know, so there's all these kind of like things that are up in the air that I feel like hopefully we will see more of Eobard's villain origin story and that'll play out. But who knows?
Who knows indeed.
And speaking of the future mm-hmm. of Flash, mm-hmm. do we have any predictions mm-hmm. about what's going to happen in the rest of the season?
Well, this also came up during Spaces, so segue. But because I had on my wish list of things that I wanted to end this story with is having it set up something like with Iris and her time sickness. And I was like, I didn't get that. And then you're talking in Spaces and they brought up, you know, Joe has a time stone. So that could possibly connect in with Iris's time sickness. And then the fact that we have Eobard's origin story is dropped in this episode, maybe that's a connection, like maybe her time sickness takes her to that place and Barry has to save her and doesn't realize and kind of inadvertently just starts the whole thing, even if he was trying to avoid it he couldn't, like one of those kind of situations, which I feel like if this is the last season I would hope that they would play that out, because I think that would be like really cool way to bring the story like full circle. And then also for the promo with Bart and Nora, I think that one of the articles that they were looking at, Joe West got shot. Like, this man, he died once, and now death is like, you cannot cheat me.
Well, I was going to say, because wasn't there another article next to that says he was the only one that survived?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So I think, like, what's that movie where, like, death is, like, coming after, like, these, what's the name of the movie? Where everyone, like, on a plane, they, like, cheat death, and then death is, like, coming to, like...
Final Destination?
Yes, Final Destination. I feel like Joe's entering his like final destination. But anyway, they start like the article of him getting shot the first time was in 2013. And the New Year's party that the picture is from 2014. So I think like they start before Barry gets hit by lightning and they end like right. They end at a weird time for West Allen because it's like right after Eddie proposes to Iris and Barry has heard like professed his love to Iris. It's right all in that same little time period.
Well, Barry, Eddie had asked her to move in with him. I don't think he asked her to marry. He never formally asked her to marry him, right?
True. He asked her to move in with him. That's right. And Barry had professed his love. And so, like, this all is, like, very, like, complicated little love bubble. So if Bart and Nora, like, while they're back there, just had to just, like, retcon that whole thing and just be like, you do not want to go out with our mom. That'd be great.
That would be so funny.
That would be hilarious. Oh my God. And then Eddie would truly, you know, be just there as a partner to Joe, and that's fine.
Nothing else.
Cecile in Star Labs. Just hanging out, like, what's up, guys?
Right.
You know what? If he does, I guess maybe they could save his life if he doesn't move in with Iris and then doesn't get involved with Team Flash and never finds out that Barry's a Flash, then Eobard wouldn't have to like drag him and maybe he would be alive. And then that's the way you can have Eddie back like in the world, but just not with us.
That's a good point. He could go off to Keystone City, find a nice girl, get married, have kids.
Go find Patty. I'm sure she wants a man.
Well, and it would be interesting too, because I feel like if they change something and Eddie doesn't date Iris, but he does remain alive, he would have to meet someone so that he could eventually be the great, 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 great grandfather of Thawne, right? So right. That would bring everything back. That'd be great.
I feel like that was also a plot line they never solidified. Like when Eddie dies, she's like, okay.
Thawne was gone in that moment, but then they're like, back
he's
again.
Still around. Yeah.
Tati, do you have any predictions?
No, I do not. I would like to, but I just think it will be fun to see the siblings of different ages.
Yeah, I don't really have too many expectations. I do like the theory that we'll eventually see what happened, like Barry going to the future because of Iris's time sickness, and that's supposedly going to play a big role in back half of season 8. And I also think, I mean, hopefully that'll happen because I don't feel like they would have written in that scene between Thawne and Barry. They didn't need to unless they were actually going to do something with it.
Right.
Because otherwise, exactly. It's like, I hate you. I'm like, okay, we accept it. Thawne hates Barry and they can continue on like this. But the fact that he actually was honest with him and they're going to do the time sickness stuff and Joe has the time stone, like, it has to connect somehow. I want to, you know, have my mind blown, even though I won't. But I would like to have some crumbs from what would have probably been a great story. Other than that, I feel like it would be really funny if Nora and Bart ended up having to like back to the future, because whenever they come back to meet their parents, Barry and Iris already know everything about time travel or whatever. But if they went back further than that before, like when Barry just had gotten his powers or whatever, they wouldn't know who they are. Yeah.
So
Barry wasn't the Flash yet. Barry was in a coma.
He was in a coma in 2013 because Joe got shot in December of 2013. So I was trying to like figure out the math.
He was hit by lightning because that's when he was on Arrow.
He was hit on December the 13th?
Yeah. And then like 9 months later, he wakes up in September 2014.
Because I remember like in the promo, Bart was like, I don't know if he, what verb tense he used. He's like, this was where Dad got struck by lightning, or this is where Dad got, one of those. So I was trying to like figure out like the way that he was saying it, whether Barry had been struck by lightning before or already or not.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully at least there'll be fun episodes, but that's all I've got. Lady with Gumption of the week of Armageddon.
Event. Yes. Yeah. Well, we did a poll.
That's so true.
We did do a poll in our Twitter spaces, and it was unanimous or majority ruled that Iris is the lady with Gumption of Armageddon.
Indeed.
As she should be.
Ryan got a solid runners-up space.
Yeah.
Silver medal.
And Alex got, you know, third somewhere, I
think. Yeah, bronze.
So, yay, Iris, for being Lady with the Gumption of Armageddon. Tune back in for Flash Thoughts in March, but we'll still be here because even though Flash is not on for the next couple of months, we have Batwoman and Legends returning in January. We have Naomi.
Do you know when they return in January?
January 12th. God. Yeah, okay. So that's pretty soon.
And Naomi premieres on the day before, the 11th. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so tune back in for our thoughts on those shows. We also are doing a Love Boat episode next week. So if you have any thoughts on all your favorite ships.
Or not next week, because next week is Christmas. But
no, next week is the day before Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Never mind. I'm crazy. I'm already like ahead.
Yeah, so Love Boat. So if you have any thoughts on any of your ships this season, from Kelly and Alex to Barry and Iris to Ava and Sarah, let us know, and any of the other subships, because there's plenty of
Astra
them too.
Astra and
Bahrad. Send us your Allegra Kester too, I guess. So send us all your thoughts to ladieswgumption@gmail.com or send us asks to the Tumblr at ladieswgumption.tumblr.com, and we will see you next week. And if you're interested in hearing us talk about Eternals for the patrons, we will be discussing that movie, the Marvel movie, and all the things about it. So until next time, fare thee well.
Bye.
Bye.